Blog Talk Radio.
Today we're going to talk about the civil war in the GOP now exploding out into the open as Donald Trump threatens Mitch McConnell, and I interview the Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate in Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes, about Ron Johnson's record on abortion, Medicare, and Social Security, and how Johnson has used his office to enrich himself, and what it would mean if Barnes was the 52nd Democratic vote in the Senate. I'm Brian Tyler Cohen, and you're listening to No Lie. Okay, so not for nothing, but if I was a Republican right now, I would probably start signaling to the party that it's time to get its shit together. They're, what, 5 weeks out from an election that history says should be a gimme, and instead they're stuck with subpar candidates, poor polling, a Senate that looks out of reach, and a House that is barely gettable. And yet, here's how things are looking right now on the right. Trump just took to Truth Social with what is actually an insane post, or Truth, or whatever it's called, and he wrote, "Mitch McConnell is approving all of these trillions of dollars worth of Democrat-sponsored bills without even the slightest bit of negotiation because he hates Donald J. Trump and he knows I am strongly opposed to them, or he is doing it because he believes the fake and highly destructive Green New Deal and is willing to take the country down with him. In any event, either reason is unacceptable. He has a death wish, must immediately seek help and advice from his China-loving wife, Coco Chow." So look, I wouldn't normally dedicate an entire podcast episode to a single Trump post, but here's the thing on this. If you were wondering whether the MAGA wing of the Republican Party had settled on whether or not it would use violence as a political tool, this post pretty much answers that question. Like, when Trump says that McConnell has a death wish, in all caps, to a base of followers who's already shown that they're perfectly willing to try to kill people for him, including Republicans, he's lobbing a threat. Again, there is no plausible deniability here. What's the guy going to say? Oh, I didn't realize that my supporters would ever resort to violence, not my pacifistic supporters? Like, you don't incite a mob to storm the Capitol looking to hang your own vice president and then say that another political opponent has a death wish and get to feign ignorance if and when that violence actually presents itself. But it's worth noting that the only reason Trump is even a force on the right is that McConnell refused to vote to convict him during the Senate trial, effectively ensuring that he'd retain power in the GOP. Refused to convict him before immediately then standing up on his soapbox and making an argument as to why he should be convicted. Why? Because back then, during Trump's trial, McConnell wanted to have it both ways. He wanted to placate the MAGA base, which was basically the majority of the Republican Party, while still signaling to the donor base that the adults were in charge now and that they were recognizing that an insurrection was a bad thing and don't worry, keep those checks coming in. But the practical effect was that he allowed Trump to retain all of his power since he would remain the presumptive 2024 Republican nominee. And then Trump decided to use that power afforded to him by Mitch McConnell to attack Mitch McConnell. Like, what I can't wrap my head around is how none of these Republicans realize that the loyalty only goes one way. None of you are special. It's not a matter of if Trump will throw you under the bus if he doesn't get total fealty. It's a matter of when. And the only thing crazier than Trump throwing his own colleagues under the bus is those same people's inability to understand that he will throw them under the bus. And so, like I said at the top, at a time when Republicans should be getting their shit together because we've got 5 weeks to go until midterms and the polling is getting worse for them every single day, instead they're embroiled in a power struggle with their own party. And so if you're on the right, your choice here is basically, do you side with Republicans led by Mitch McConnell and Rick Scott, who want to ban abortion nationwide and eliminate your Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, or do you side with Donald Trump and the MAGA wing of the party, whose litmus test is whether you're willing to relitigate the 2020 election and pretend that Hugo Chavez helped rig the election on Joe Biden's behalf? How's that for a choice? Do you want abortion bans or election denialism? Would you rather eat rat poison or arsenic? But here's the important point to remember, amid all of this bullshit from the right, and that is that in just a few weeks, for the first time in over a decade, Democrats have the opportunity to be on the offensive. For the first time in over a decade, we can look at politics and have the chance to realize all of the great stuff that is possible, instead of just trying to stave off the worst effects of whatever hellish moves the Republicans are trying to pull. We can codify Roe, we can end partisan gerrymandering, we can ban assault weapons, we can transition to renewable energy. For once, we have the chance to actually usher in the future that we've been pushing for, and we're just a few weeks away from being able to do that if we can hold the House and elect two more Democratic senators. And that's what's so striking here, that on the other side of that Republican bullshit, the election denialism and abortion bans and punishing doctors and firing teachers and banning books and eliminating Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, on the flip side of all of that is a government that makes the U.S. a leader in combating climate change and transitions to fully renewable energy. It's making sure women in every state can choose what they want to do with their own bodies. It is protecting civil rights and making students safe from gun violence and creating a just tax code and so much more. We are so close. We have the numbers, but it's all of our job to make sure those numbers turn out. Here's a segment from my interview.
All told, more than 150 Americans of every age, of every race, of every background exercised their right to vote. They voted early. They voted absentee. They voted in person. They voted by mail. They voted by Dropbox. And then they got their families and friends to go out and vote. Election officials, the entire electoral system, withstood unrelenting political attacks, physical threats, intimidation, and pressure. They did so with unyielding courage and faith in our democracy. With recount after recount after recount, court case after court case, the 2020 election was the most scrutinized election ever in American history. Challenge after challenge brought to local, state, and election officials, state legislatures, state and federal courts, even to the United States Supreme Court, not once, but twice. More than 80 judges, including those appointed by my predecessor, heard the arguments. In every case, neither cause nor evidence was found to undermine the national achievement of administering the historic election in the face of such extraordinary challenges. Audits, recounts were conducted in Arizona and Wisconsin. In Georgia, it was recounted 3 times. It's clear. For those who challenge the results and question the integrity of the election, no other election has ever been held under such scrutiny and such high standards. The big lie is just that, a big lie. The 2020 election, it's not hyperbole, it suggests the most examined and the fullest expression of the will of the people in the history of this nation. This should be celebrated. An example of America at its best. But instead, we continue to see an example of human nature at its worst. Something darker and more sinister. In America, if you lose, you accept the results. You follow the Constitution. You try again. You don't call facts fake, and then try to bring down the American experiment just because you're unhappy. That's not statesmanship. That's not statesmanship. That's selfishness. That's not democracy. It's the denial of the right to vote. It suppresses. It subjugates. The denial of full and free and fair elections is the most un-American thing than any of us can imagine. The most undemocratic, the most unpatriotic, and sadly, not unprecedented. They want to make it so hard and inconvenient that they hope people don't vote at all. That's what this is about. This year alone, 17 states have enacted, not just proposed, but enacted, 28 new laws to make it harder for Americans to vote. Not to mention, and catch this, nearly 400 additional bills Republican members of the state legislatures are trying to pass. The 21st century Jim Crow assault is real. It's unrelenting. And we're going to challenge it vigorously.
Joe Biden should be saying this every single day, given the continued assault on voting rights from Republican-led legislatures around the country. In all, there were 389 voter suppression bills introduced in 49 states, all of them the direct result of Trump's big lie that the election was stolen. Which is why, even in the face of zero evidence to actually back it up, Trump and Republicans continue to pretend that it's real. Because it's not actually about proving fraud, it's not actually about catching any nefarious behavior, the point is to use it as a justification to continue passing these laws. This is a long-term strategy all predicated on an outright lie. That's why it makes no difference when we point out the facts, that no fraud was proven in more than 60 court cases in the DOJ, in the DHS, according to Republican secretaries of state, and to recounts and audits. If this was truly about fraud, those concerns would have been put to rest when the issue was litigated to within an inch of its life. But it didn't matter what any authority said, because it's not about the truth, it's about spreading the lie, because that lie is what's most convenient for them. And so knowing that Republicans aren't operating in good faith, knowing that their goal is to subvert democracy for their own political benefit, the answer here cannot be some bipartisan negotiation. That's like working with an arsonist to put out fires. The answer has to be passing both the Voting Rights Act and the For the People Act, because without federal protections, an unhinged Republican Party will stop at nothing to continue entrenching their own power. They'll continue gerrymandering so that even when Democrats get more votes in each state, it's Republicans who will take the majority of House seats. They'll continue blocking methods of voting used by Democratic voters, like vote-by-mail and early voting. They'll continue lowering the number of drop boxes in cities where there are higher concentrations of Democrats. They'll empower partisan poll watchers whose only goal is to intimidate voters at the polls. And in some cases, they'll even give Republican-led legislatures the power to unilaterally overturn the election results just at the suggestion of fraud, which goes without saying will be leveled by Republicans. We're seeing all of these things in GOP-led states across the country. So when you wonder why we can't work with Republicans, this is why. The fact is that Republicans aren't interested in democracy because democracy relies on serving the will of the majority. Only Republicans don't bother appealing to the majority, but rather a shrinking minority of white voters. And instead of appealing to more people, they've opted instead to just rig the system so that they don't have to. So they'll continue pushing for tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires, they'll continue trying to take health care away, they'll continue trying to undermine women's reproductive rights, they'll continue vilifying immigrants, they'll continue pretending that climate change doesn't exist. They'll continue promoting their wholly unpopular agenda because if they can rig the system, it won't matter what they stand for and they can win elections. That's what they're banking on right now. So Joe Biden should be making these speeches every day and using his bully pulpit to pressure the lone Democratic holdouts in the Senate to at least create a carve-out for voting rights in the filibuster so that it doesn't take an impossible 60 votes to protect our democracy as opposed to the 51 votes it takes to confirm a Supreme Court justice or overhaul our entire tax system, both of which have unilaterally...
Yeah, a little pride and joy there. We had to open up something there. It's a little different. Steve Ray Vaughan there, one of my favorite songs, Pride and enjoy it. We're going to be talking about a couple things on the show today. We got a lot to cover, actually. A few of these topics we're going to be covering we definitely will be covering. I know somebody wanted to ask some questions about abortions and so forth, and the Republican Party and their crazy tactics with abortions. Also, we will be discussing Herschel Walker, who, believe it or not, this is a man who allegedly paid for an abortion. And, of course, even though he's against abortions, he apparently paid for an abortion for a young girl. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about, not only the, like I said, abortions, but we'll talk about some of the other things like transgender in schools, because that's another issue that people are talking about. And I believe that it should be allowed. I believe that anybody should be allowed to go to a teacher, guidance counselor, so forth, and speak to them if they have a question about it, right? Because that's what it should be. But the transgender thing is, and the LGBTQ, anything of that magnitude, if it's in the schools, yes, at least they can talk about it. I know the Republicans don't want any of this stuff. They're like, well, we don't need it in our schools. But I think it should be there available to a student or to a child who may have a question, and then it can be brought up to the parents or whatever, and that's what could be done. But again, it's an extra tool of having somebody to be able to talk to these children. So we'll talk about that today. We're going to talk about multiple subjects that are really popping up, including a bridge that was bombed over in Russia. So we'll talk about that, and we'll also talk about some other stuff that's been going on around the world, of course, in the politics and so forth. All that is going to be covered on the show today. And if you have a question or comment, please remember to call in. And the phone number here is 563-999-3400. That's 563-999-3400 is the phone number. You can always call in through there. All right, let's go ahead and let's get this show on the road. We're going to bring the comments. Let me get this.
Break me down. You got a lovely face. We're going to your place. And now you got to freak me out. Scream so loud. Getting fucking laid. You want me to stay. But I got to make my way. Hey, y'all crazy bitch, but you're so good I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Stack yourself down my back.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Miss Paula Alexander, how you doing?
Hey. I'm just having a relaxing evening, except for I did something. I need therapy now because I actually went on Facebook and watched the Trump rally a little while ago. So, yeah. Again.
Did you lose a few brain cells watching that damn thing?
Almost. I reported it once again. I reported it three times.
Good.
But it didn't do any good because they won't do nothing about it because it's Fox News and they make a lot of money off Fox News. And they won't do it. They won't take it down. But once again, I mean, everything that came out of his mouth was a lie. And I cannot believe this. This is one of the reasons he got banned from Facebook and Twitter is because he kept saying the election was stolen. Well, guess what? He said it at this rally on Facebook Live again.
Yeah.
Still spewing bullshit about the election to the public on a site where he was banned, but just to do it through right-wing media.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's the typical stuff, you know. The election, he said the election was stolen. Golly, if I didn't write it down. I should have got a notepad and written down a lot of the things he said. But it's the same old bullshit crap, banned to begin with. Only it was standing before an audience and saying it, and Facebook is allowing Fox to play his lies.
That's terrible.
You know, I think I actually believe he said we need to take back America again, which is one of the things that caused January 6th. It was inciting violence.
Yeah.
People will take him literally.
Yeah.
They will take him literally.
He's pretty much, we need to just start calling him Donald Manson because he's just like Charles Manson.
Yeah.
You know, in the aspect of controlling his followers to do his bidding.
Right. Right. And they played that creepy cult music again at the end while he was speaking.
What the hell, man?
And I even, you know, I was in the chat. I was in the chat. You know, I said something about it. I said, there's that creepy cult music again, you know. And, you know, they were, you know, I had somebody tell me, well, take another hit, Paula. said something about me doing meth. I have because I've gotten in so much trouble on Facebook over things I say, I have learned to fight back against the trolls with humor and positivity and humor. I shut a troll down last night. On the GOP page.
Ooh.
I did. He actually could not reply. He did not reply back to me after I finished with him. I can't even remember what was said to begin with. I think it was something about the GOP wants to eliminate my Social Security and Medicare or something like that. And this troll goes... Paula, do your parents have any living children? And I said, no, I'm a ghost, and put a laughing face. Do your parents have any living children? No, I'm a ghost. Put a laughing face. And then
it's a dumb.
And then he goes. Then he goes. Your profile picture makes you look ghostly. And I go, yep, transparency is my superpower. And put another laughy face. He didn't reply back to me after that. Because he knew he was just going to get sarcastic. He knew I was just going to say something funny or smart or or sarcastic.
Yeah, he wanted you to get in an argument with him.
Yeah, he was trying to rile me up.
To get my fight.
Yeah,
it didn't
work. That's what they like to do.
Yep.
Yeah, because they can't go on any kind of facts or anything because they have no facts to stand on. So they have to attack people and rile them up.
Right. Yeah, he thought by asking me if my parents had any children who were alive that it would get my goat. You know, as they say here in the South, it would get my goat. Rile me up, you know, make my blood boil. And I shot back with, you know, do your parents have any children who are alive? Nope, I'm a ghost. Isn't that funny?
That is funny. That's real funny. A bunch of dumbasses. but I like it. I love your response. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, the trolls were after me again on the rally tonight, you know, saying, you know, when I'm, that, you know, Obama's the worst president in history. Well, you know where that's coming from. That's from racism. And I replied back, well, kept me alive. So there's that. You know. So, I didn't. Hello. Ding dong.
Hello.
The car is
ding dong. The witch
car
is dead. The witch is dead.
Yeah, the witch, oh, bitch. Ding dong, the witch is dead, the witch, oh witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. I can't sing, but, you know, you get the drift.
Hey, you were doing good there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, baby.
I got to ask you on a personal note before we get into all this other stuff. Is my voice low enough to sound like a man?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You sound like a dude.
Because I went through the drive-thru at Taco Bell yesterday.
Yeah.
I already paid for an order on the app, so all I had to do was pull up to the speaker and say, I have an app order for Paula. And the girl goes, thank you, sir.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
I said, well,
unless she has some kind of messed up shit going on in her headset, I don't see you sounding like a man.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I went, that's ma'am. I'm sorry. She went, I'm sorry. So I just thought I'd get that out of the way before we get going on anything else.
Yeah. No. You definitely don't sound like a man. You sound more like Ivanka.
I do have a whiskey voice, so. Oh, God. Yeah, so let's get into... Or do you have something you want to talk about?
No, I was going to let you start it off here. I figured you you probably had a few things you wanted to hit at the especially the midterms coming up here really soon. It's it definitely got to stop these damn Republicans.
Yeah. Okay, did you download the Biden speech where he called out Republicans?
I did. I don't know if I have the, because I have the, that's the thing. I was trying to look it up and everything, and for some reason, it doesn't, didn't come up with,
Brian Tyler Cohen has it on YouTube. Did I send that to you? I can't remember.
No.
Okay. Brian Tyler Cohen has it on YouTube.
Ones are off.
Let me see if I can find it. Okay.
I'm trying to see if I can find that. Because there's like a few of them.
Okay, I found it. I'll send it to you. Oh, I got a Domino's.
You got a Domino's?
Yeah.
You got a pizza coming?
Okay. I just sent it to you.
Okay.
Because you have to understand that I know at least two of these people he called out by name were helped with the insurrection. Our election deniers are Paul Gosar. One of them, Paul Gosar. He's got like, I don't know, what is it, 7 siblings? And he's such a dickhead, none of his family members will even talk to him. Beg people not to vote for him. His own family members.
Really?
Yeah, so that's one of the people that Joe called out.
Yeah, that's the one that I think I found.
Yeah, I sent it to you.
Yeah. Well, when you sent it to me, I got to look it up on a different server. Program. So I have to see what it's titled, how they titled the video in order to find it. And there's several different things what they do here. But let me see if
the thing is, it's like in, like on this live, you know, all the trolls are going, you know, Biden is weak. Biden doesn't know where he is. Biden bumbles around and doesn't know what he's doing, blah, 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 blah. And yet this man comes out in front of a microphone, in front of everybody, and nails a bunch of Republicans for being... Yeah, but he's weak, right.
He ain't weak. That motherfucker is right on, man, and he's you know, like that one video I seen, you know, where it shows that little, okay, so Biden was speaking, and I think he was speaking with students and everything, and I don't know exactly where he was speaking, but it was that video I sent you where the little boy, you know, little guy that comes up to him, and, you know, he's obviously got some kind of a, you know, he's kind of got a, like a mental illness type thing. But anyway, he goes up to him, and he hugs him, and he goes, you know, and you can hear, you know, you see Joe Biden say, it's okay. It's going to be okay. Right? Nobody's going to get, nobody's going to get you, and blah, blah, blah. But what I'm going to say is this. When that boy went up there, that was so heartfelt that it felt like that boy was representing America, Americans who felt the same thing that he was feeling.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. God, you just brought me to tears. I hadn't thought about it like that. That boy has Down syndrome. And it's a video of the president speaking, and as he starts to turn and walk away, he hears a commotion behind him, and it's like a teenage boy with Down syndrome runs up to him and throws his arms around him. And Joe kisses him on the forehead and asks him if he's all right. And the boy shakes his head no. And he's in tears. And Joe hugs him. He thanks him for hugging him. Thank you for hugging me. Are you all? And then he asks him, are you all right? And the boy shakes his head no. And then he hugs him even tighter and says, it's going to be all right. And rubs his head. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And it is just absolutely so touching and so empathetic. And so, I mean, that boy was it was young enough to be one of his grandchildren, you know. And
he kisses him on the head and everything. It was so cute. And
right.
But they sit there, and that's what I was thinking, Paula. I'm thinking that young boy represented the Americans, the true Americans that wanted a different change for our country. And
right.
We all felt the same way, that we were in that much pain that, you know, we are just so scared and we didn't want anything to happen. And we needed somebody to be that person to pick us up and put us in their arms. And that's exactly what I felt between the interaction between that boy and Joe Biden.
Right, right. You know, and like you said, I saw, was it you that said it or somebody else said it? Now they're going to accuse, because he hugged and kissed him on the forehead, you know, he'll be accused of pedophilia in front of a whole audience, a big old room full of people.
Yeah,
I
that's
mean,
how sick these Republicans are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that video you sent me, okay, so here's the video Paula sent me. I just want to play a little bit of it and see what it sounds like here.
There's a report.
Let's make sure I can,
as they say, as my grandkids say, Google it. But report that came out, CNN, it says, Republicans call Biden infrastructure program socialism. And then they ask for the money. And it goes through all the Republicans, the most conservative Republicans who call it socialism, and how they're asking for it. A guy named Paul Gosar, he's written 3 separate letters to the administration asking for projects in his district. He says it enhanced the quality of life, that ease congestion, boost the economy. Voted against it, says it's all socialism. Go down the list, Kentucky Representative Andy Barr, the biggest socialist agenda. 3 different projects he wants, studying the importance of the safety and growth of his district. Rand Paul, I can go down the list, look it up. Socialism. I didn't know there were that many socialist Republicans. Think about it. I'm serious. Let's get serious about taking care of ordinary people, regular people like I grew up. Folks, look, you can't make this stuff up. You got to say, and I got to say, I was surprised to see so many socialists in the Republican caucus.
So it turns out that all those Republicans who derided the dangerous socialists, those reckless spenders, themselves just so happen to be dangerous socialists and reckless spenders. Funny how things change when they're not parroting bumper sticker slogans on Fox News. This is Biden calling out those Republicans by name who mock the infrastructure package, only to turn around and plead for funding from it. Plead for funding from the same exact bill that they voted against. They didn't want anyone to have that funding, but because other people made it a reality, they feel entitled to it because it'll help them politically. Here's an idea, and I think I might be onto something here. Elect people who will actually vote for the things that are so good, they want to take credit for them. Just, you know, for starters. Among those Republicans putting on a charm offensive is Republican lawmaker Tom Emmer of Minnesota. Now, when the law passed, he called it President Biden's multi-trillion-dollar socialist wish list. And then just a few months later, guess who wanted a piece of President Biden's multi-trillion-dollar socialist wish list? Gone were the sharp jabs and right-wing buzzwords, replaced instead by phrases like this one in his letter to Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Quote, the grant also strives to serve as a social justice measure. The completion of this project means improved economic opportunities for ethnically underserved communities. Dude literally pulled the race card to help a white Republican who voted against the bill in the first place because he wanted to hurt the party whose base is black Americans. And I hope you're sitting down for this. Emmer's request wasn't granted. There was Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville, who'd previously accused the infrastructure bill of, quote, using fuzzy math and IOUs to hide the real cost, who then appealed to Buttigieg by saying, quote, as a former mayor, you understand better than anyone the time and money that goes into applying for highly competitive grants. I love the idea of trying to guilt Pete into allocating funding to you by complaining about having to do your job. Surely you know how much time I'm spending writing you this letter. They have me here working for my salary, the humanity, and so the least you can do is allocate funding for a law that I tried to ensure never passed. Convincing, huh? And then there was Arizona lawmaker Paul Gosar, who, when he's not helping incite insurrections on the U.S. Capitol, had previously called the infrastructure bill a, quote, phony bill that, quote, only serves to advance the America Last socialist agenda. Gosar went on to write not one, not two, but three letters trying to get a piece of that sweet, sweet socialist agenda by explaining that they'd enhance the quality of life, ease congestion, boost the economy, alleviate bottlenecks, and improve rural living conditions. And he's right, which is why Democrats introduced this bill in the first place. It's why they pleaded with Republicans like Paul Gosar to vote for it in the first place. So the fact that Gosar can sit there and admit all of those things about the same law that he voted against is proof that he knew about its merits all along and yet made the conscious decision to try and deprive not only his own constituents, but all Americans of those benefits, which suggests pretty damn strongly that another way to enhance the quality of life is to not elect people like Paul Gosar. Here's one of my favorites. Rand Paul voted against the infrastructure bill because it purportedly epitomized wasteful spending. And then he wrote, wait for it, 10 letters requesting a piece of that funding once the bill that he opposed actually passed. Like Paul Gosar, he explained just how advantageous it would be for his state, how it would promote continued economic development, ease congestion, improve air quality, support job growth, and have a profound national and regional significance. And like Paul Gosar, he ostensibly knew all of these things prior to it passing. It's not like the concept of funding infrastructure changed between the legislation being proposed and the legislation being passed, which means that someone who knew how beneficial it would be tried to ensure that none of those benefits were felt by his own constituents. Rand Paul's letter acknowledging the benefits of the law that he opposed is a slap in the face to every single person living in Kentucky. Now, when Buttigieg was asked about the glaring hypocrisy, he said, quote, it's hard not to chuckle when seeing the letters from members who voted against the infrastructure law. He continued, quote, obviously, it's good for their districts, which is why it's probably good for America. And of course it is. Infrastructure is immensely popular. In fact, it's so popular that Trump used it as a pretend carrot on a stick for his voters for years. That's how popular it is. That the guy used it to bait voters into turning out for him. And granted, while he had no intention of actually passing any infrastructure bill, what with it not being a tax cut for himself and his rich buddies, the fact that he touted it is still admission enough of just how popular it was. The difference being that while Republicans like Trump pretend to do populism while pandering for votes and then just help the ultra-rich instead, Democrats actually deliver on policies that serve the majority of Americans, opting not to just pander to the top 1%. And it's not just on infrastructure. On bill after bill, Democrats have actually delivered on legislation that helps regular people. They passed the American Rescue Plan, funding free vaccines and COVID tests. They passed the gun package, getting us a little closer to achieving those gun reforms that Republicans refused to let pass, even as mass shootings surged in this country. They passed the CHIPS Act, which will bring the semiconductor chip industry to the U.S., meaning more jobs. They passed the PACT Act, funding health care for sick veterans. They passed the Inflation Reduction Act, which invests in climate, allows the government to negotiate lower drug prices for people, caps out-of-pocket costs for seniors, and makes the rich pay their fair share. Biden forgave student loan debt for 43 million Americans. He pardoned every American convicted of marijuana possession and asked the HHS secretary and the AG to start the process of removing marijuana as a Schedule I drug. Every single one of these things helps regular people. And when you add in the infrastructure law, it became clear exactly who this administration and who this party is advocating on behalf of. And just to be clear, it's not the same people being served by the GOP. So when those Republicans write their little letters fawning over the importance of infrastructure funding, just remember that they all use the tools at their disposal to deprive their own constituents of that very funding. So with November 8th only weeks away, voters should elect people who would defer to their needs and not reward those Republicans who threw those same voters under the bus trying to bolster their conservative bona fides with Sean Hannity. Send a message that these politicians are there to serve their constituents and not the other way around. Before you... We'll be right back.
Yeah. That's a song about Donald Trump right there. An American idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, didn't they write that for him?
No, it actually came out beforehand, before
okay.
he was.
Oh, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was out in the 80s.
I know Green Day.
But that song, that song definitely, every time I hear it, it's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I think they pre-knew what was going to happen.
Okay. So, another thing. Trump held another rally, was it yesterday? Or maybe it was the day before yesterday, in Arizona. And Marjorie Taylor Greene showed up in Arizona when she's a representative in Georgia. Okay? What is a Georgia congresswoman doing in Arizona? So anyway, reporters got a hold of her before she went on stage. And she did this little speech about how Democrats want to kill Republicans.
The fuck? Oh, my God.
I mean, she was being serious. Democrats want to kill us. Remember when Hillary Clinton said, we're all deplorables, and then the Democrats took that and they turned us into the enemy, or I don't know her exact words. But basically she was quoting Hillary Clinton and how we all of us Democrats want to kill all of them. And because of it. I mean, it's just,
she was there for Donald Trump's Adderall jizz.
Right.
She's getting a divorce.
I mean,
she's looking for some strange.
She probably already had it. That may be.
Oh,
that
I guarantee
may, well,
you
I
that.
Know she's already had. Well, I already know she had at least two affairs while she was married. That's a known fact. With guys at her gym that either owned or ran her gym. The gym she went to. So she did have affairs with them. But I'm thinking something else has happened, and he finally went, fuck it, I've had enough. You know?
Yeah.
My God, I wish he'd come out and say something, what was going on behind the scenes. If he knows shit about, was she really, so far it's speculation that she was involved in January 6th. She did go for a meeting at the White House with Trump and his aides and his lawyers and people just before January 6th. She wasn't even sworn in yet. As a congresswoman, she wasn't even sworn in yet. And
what?
3 days
really?
After, yeah. But yet she's at the White House. I mean, hello. And then 3 days after she was sworn in, all these politicians, these MAGA politicians that support Trump, these people have come forward, come and asked Trump for blanket pardons. Roger Stone and Steve Bannon got one. Well, it is said that Marjorie Taylor Greene also asked for a blanket pardon. So why would you ask for a blanket pardon if you haven't done something criminal?
Well, yeah. That would be
why
my thoughts.
And that's what, trust me, everybody throws it in her face. Why did you ask for a pardon 3 days after you were sworn in? Of course, she never answers. You know, she never replies back to anybody on her Twitter. She just spews lies and bullshit and hate. And so, but anyway, yeah. So, you know, I just hope Georgia is smart and votes against her. And they elect Marcus Flowers to replace her. Everybody's sick of her. And you want to hear the funny thing?
What's that?
She is supposedly, politicians have they can have a personal account and a professional politician's account. On their politician's account, they cannot block anybody. It's against the terms of service. A politician cannot block anybody, so have access to what they're saying. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, back last year, got her personal account permanently suspended like I have. And now she's supposedly suing Twitter to get her personal account back. Because if she loses the election, that means she loses her professional Congress account and won't have any.
Ooh. Well, I hope she does lose it.
Yeah, I hope she loses the election. So.
Oh, my God.
Can we have some normalcy in this country again? I mean, my God, this woman said Jewish space lasers were caused a forest fire in California. She said 9/11 didn't happen. She said that a plane didn't hit the Pentagon. She said the Parkland school shooting didn't happen. There's another school shooting she said didn't happen. What else has she said?
Oh, my God.
She is just...
Solar.
Oh,
solar panels, right?
Oh, yeah, and the other thing is, even today she posted, earlier today, she posted about COVID, that the vaccines causing heart attacks. Now, there is some study that says a very small portion of young men can have had heart attacks, and they think that the vaccines are the cause, but it's a very, very small portion. So she is still lying about COVID and the vaccines. This woman is insane.
Well, yeah. And if you got to think about, everybody needs to think about that for a minute. If they issue anything that's out here on the market and somebody dies from it, even one person, they have to issue a warning on that product. So it doesn't mean that they have 1 billion people dying from it. But if one person dies, they have to, the FDA has to put it out there publicly for people to know that there is a chance that somebody else could die from it. You know what I mean? It's basically to cover their ass.
Right.
And that's what it did. You know, but it's not saying that everybody has get a vaccine, you're going to die of a heart attack.
Right. Well, she's very anti-vaccine. She's calling for Dr. Fauci to be impeached.
Oh, God.
To remove him from office. Yeah, she's not the only one. Rand Paul from Kentucky is doing the same thing. there's a bunch of them that are calling for Fauci to be removed and prosecuted.
Wow.
Prosecuted, people alive.
They want him prosecuted. They want him removed or impeached because he did not follow what Donald Trump wanted him to do, and he wasn't going to do his lies and misconception. So that's why they hate him so much, and that's what it's about.
Well, that's, I don't think that's all of it. It is said that Marjorie Taylor Greene, Rand Paul, a whole bunch of these politicians have bought stock in like in ivermectin, in alternate alternatives for COVID, like ivermectin, which is a horse. It's a horse dewormer. It'll give you the shits, but it won't. It's on the FDA website. It will not cure COVID. It does nothing for COVID. But all these politicians have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars buying stock in ivermectin. And I think there's another one. And God forbid them lose their money. So, of course, they don't want to see the vaccine succeed. And if they don't want to see the vaccine succeed, they're going to take aim at the person that helped create it, and that's Dr. Fauci. So that's another reason. When it comes to Republicans, it's all about the greed. It's all about the money.
Yeah. Yep, that's what it is. Yep, that's what they always about, greed and money. And they don't care about the little people. They don't care about the people who, you know, that they, people think that they care so much about them.
Right. You know who else they want to see impeached?
Who's that?
Well, besides Joe Biden, it's Merrick Garland.
Why?
Well, he and his DOJ are the ones investigating their involvement in January 6th. So the people who did the crime want to impeach the guy that's investigating them for doing the crime.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they're calling for Merrick Garland to be impeached, too.
Oh, well, see, that's just, I'll tell you, they need to go down a whole line of people to impeach their own on their side, you know, and there's a lot of
right.
them. And I'm talking about half the fucking Congress, but.
And these same people are saying the DOJ, who Merrick Garland runs, and the FBI, who, what's his name? The FBI director, Cray, who's a Republican that Trump put in office, need to be impeached, need to be disbanded. They're saying the DOJ and the FBI need to be disbanded. Because my God almighty, they went in, they raided our president's home and took those documents and investigating them for January 6th. I mean, it's such hypocrisy.
Huh.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was just reading
through some stuff as we're going through this process, and somebody wrote us, and I was reading it for a second, and it says, did you hear about the teacher up in Harvard University? Well, it's a Harvard affiliate university. She said, and they have a hospital, and it says that this person was coming out and speaking about babies, and it said she said that babies know they're trans once born, says a Harvard affiliate hospital. That's the headline that he attached to it.
Okay.
That's in his link.
What,
And I'm looking at...
What is the headline again?
It says, babies know they are trans, like transgender, once born, says Harvard affiliated hospital. So this instructor is saying that that the researchers find that their research has found that babies know that they're trans once they're born, you know, basically once they're born and they grow up or whatever. But Republicans are freaking out about this, saying that they should even be researching this or studying this in a school.
Did you watch the interview that John Stewart did with my Arkansas Attorney General, Leslie Rutledge?
Uh-uh.
It's on the subject. He had her squirming in her chair. She's so used to yes men that, Leslie is, that his questions made her uncomfortable. And you have to remember that my Attorney General, Leslie Rutledge, is also one of the 17, when the election happened and Joe Biden won, there were 17 state attorney generals across the country who signed documents to invalidate the 2020 election for Joe Biden. Leslie Rutledge was one of those people. She was the only female, I believe, state attorney general that signed that document. She was also the, when Roe got overturned, the day it got overturned by the Supreme Court, her and our governor, Asa Hutchinson, were on a Facebook Live signing the document to make abortion illegal in Arkansas. And while she's signing it and talking, she is bawling with joy. So this woman is nothing but a mean-spirited flake who doesn't believe that women should have rights, even though she's a woman, that the election wasn't valid, and that what all did I include just there? The election wasn't valid, that women shouldn't have rights, and that that doctors shouldn't have any doctors and parents shouldn't have any say so. And if their kids are trans, help with their being trans. And
right.
John Stewart put her in her place, and it was glorious.
Oh my God. That's funny.
Yeah.
I like to hear that kind of stuff.
I'm gonna find that for you too.
Yes, I want to see that too.
You need to play this.
What's that now?
You might want to play this too, and I believe it's also on a. Okay, I found it. I'm sharing it right now. Because people need to hear what he says and how hypocritical. You have it. You know, John Stewart is the one that when the Republican senators voted against veterans health care for burn pits.
Uh-huh.
He shamed he shamed them into going back 5 days later and voting for it. So John Stewart.
Really?
Yes. John Stewart. I mean, he stood outside the Capitol building and got in Ted Cruz's face. And Rand Paul. And told these senators off. He shamed them on Twitter. He shamed them on Facebook. He shamed them live before cameras.
Yeah.
John Stewart gets the job done. He asks the questions that other people are afraid to ask. And says the things that people are afraid to say. And people
yeah,
need to hear
that's
this.
Not that, he's definitely one that I like a lot, John Stewart. And I think that I heard that he's going to, while I do this, I heard that he's going to, supposed to be replacing Bill Maher, too, on HBO.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, he...
That they're getting rid of him.
This interview with Leslie Rutledge is on his own show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But people need
right,
to hear
this. This up. Interview. X. Served with Arkansas Attorney General Leslie.
I just put John Stewart Leslie Rutledge interview. And it comes up. John is spelled J-O-N, not J. Doesn't have an H in it.
Sure. Let me look this up here real quick. Let me
okay.
find him real quick and see if I can find the... Ooh, I think I found it. I think I found it.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll let that download real quick. And yeah, so I'm going to let me re-download it or put this in there while we do that. What'd you say, hon?
It's been all over Facebook that he did it again. That was just in June when he shamed the Republican senators into voting for the veterans' medical care. After they voted against it on a Thursday or Friday, the cameras, they took stills of the camera of the senators fist pumping each other, shaking hands and smiling and laughing because they voted against our veterans. Unbelievable.
That's sickening. And didn't they apologize? They just recently voted against the infrastructure bill as well.
Right. Well,
so
I mean, they're it's like the socialism deal. It's like they will vote against anything that helps the American people. And then they come back later and say, like on the infrastructure, my state needs some money for this or that or this or that. like the audio you played a little while ago and said, I voted against it, but I need some money now for my state. And then Joe Biden called him out on it, so.
Yeah. Okay, so.
That's what Republicans do.
Here's that John Stewart thing. Let me play it real quick. Here it is.
Why would the state of Arkansas step in to override parents, physicians, psychiatrists, endocrinologists who have developed guidelines? Why would you override those guidelines?
Well, I think it's important that all of those physicians, all of those experts, for every single one of them, there's an expert that says we don't need to allow children to be able to take those medications, that there are many instances
right.
where...
But you know that's not true. You know it's not for everyone there's one. There's these are the established...
Well, I don't know that that's not true. I don't know that...
Then why
you
would
know
you
that.
Why would you pass a law then if you don't know that that's true? Wouldn't you...
Well, I know
so?
That there are doctors and that we had plenty of people come and testify before our legislature
mm-hmm.
who said that, you know, we have 98% of the young people who have gender dysphoria
right.
That they are able to move past that, and once they have the help that they need, no longer suffer from gender dysphoria. 98%
wow.
without that medical treatment.
That's an incredibly made up figure. That doesn't comport with any of the studies or documentation that exists from these medical organizations. What medical association are you talking about of these doctors?
Well, we have all of that in our legislative history, and we'll be glad to provide that to you. I don't have the name of that off the top of my head. I know it's something that...
You don't have the name of the organization that you're getting
that off the top of my head.
Oh, okay.
But yes, we have all of that cited in all of our briefs.
You're suggesting that protecting children means overriding the recommendations of the American Medical Association, the American Association of Pediatrics, the Endocrine Society.
We don't have enough data. We don't have enough to show that these drugs are effective and that these children are better off and that we should encourage these...
Or it's not enough for you. Let me try and flip it a different way and see if maybe this can help. In Arkansas, if you have pediatric cancer, and obviously we all want to protect children, I think we established that earlier, whose guidelines do you follow for pediatric cancer?
Well, I think if my child, who is four, if I was faced with that terrible decision, then I would be speaking to my doctor. And if my doctor recommended something that I disagreed with, then I would get a second opinion. And that's what I believe that these parents need to make sure that they're encouraged to get numerous opinions when they're talking about an irreversible step.
You're not letting them. The state's not saying get another opinion. What they're saying is you can't. What you're actually saying
no,
is the opposite.
No, that's actually not at all what the state said. The state simply said that you cannot perform these procedures, and so parents should get another opinion that they, and children should want to have another opinion.
But that's not...
Because again, these are 9, 10, 11, 12
years. So if your child is suffering from pediatric cancer, and the state comes in and says to you, they recommend chemotherapy, but we're not going to let you do that. You can't. We think you should get a different opinion, and here's the organization we think you should get the opinion from. They're not the mainstream, but they're an organization. So that's who you have to be treated by. Does that sound like something you would
accept?
Well,
I think that's a very extreme example. That's not at all in line with what we're talking about. We're not saying that at some point, because when you have cancer, it literally is, and particularly pediatric cancer, and having friends that have lost children
sure.
to pediatric cancer, having a four-year-old, I'm sure.
I've got some bad news for you. Parents with children who have gender dysphoria have lost children to suicide and depression.
They absolutely
because it's
have.
Acute. And so these mainstream medical organizations have developed guidelines through peer-reviewed data and studies. And through those guidelines, they've improved mental health outcomes. So I'm confused why you follow AMA guidelines and AAAP guidelines for all other health issues in Arkansas, because we checked, but not for this.
It's simply saying, let those young people who are facing gender confusion and dysphoria, allow them to become adults and to make that decision. Allow a child to be a child.
So here's where we have our crossroads. You've made the determination that protecting these children means not giving them access to the guidelines and care that have been designed by medical and mental health professionals for children expressing gender dysphoria. And I'm asking you again, what are your qualifications to step in and say, no, keeping you from that care is protecting you. You've made that determination.
Well, these are irreversible decisions that these children at these young ages are making, or that their
parents
are making.
They're not making the decision. You're making it sound like a 9-year-old walks into a doctor's office and says, give me some testosterone. And the doctor goes, oh, thank God, because we're wanting to create an army of transgenders because we're crazy. And they go right in like...
Now, we passed a law to protect the children in Arkansas, and I think that's what is important.
Again, the medical community disagrees with you that
well,
that's
protecting
children.
Well, not all of the
children.
Medical community.
Who doesn't?
We have had experts testify here in Arkansas.
Okay. From what medical organizations?
Well, we have all of those in our briefs, and I apologize that I wasn't prepared to have a Supreme Court argument today in front of you, but we are going to have arguments on this case when the time comes.
There you go. Ooh, he really got her ass.
And he was so calm about it. And if you watch the video, she is uncomfortable in her chair. And I love the point where he said, that's a made-up number. She's quoting like 98% or whatever. And he goes, wow. He goes, that's a made-up number. He called her out.
Yeah, you can hear it in her voice. She was not happy. And you can hear her, she was getting defenseful, and that means that, you know, I mean, she was definitely feeling like she was caught, you know?
Right,
she
right.
was coming.
Yeah, right, right, you know. So, you know, John has a way of asking questions, like, you know, when he asked her, so what gives you the right or to go above what all these medical people are saying? So,
yeah.
I mean, the American Medical Association, the Pediatric Medical Association, the psychiatrist, psychologist. You know what they did here in Arkansas with the people. And she couldn't even name the people that were called forward to testify. The people that testified against transgender rights. She couldn't even name them. And you know what they did? They called in. They specifically looked up people in the medical field that were against it. They called them to testify. They didn't call in people from the American Medical Association. They didn't call in people from the Pediatric Medical Association. They called in the people they wanted to hear what they wanted to hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Leslie, basically what it's saying is Leslie Rutledge and the government of Arkansas, the politicians in Arkansas, are making, again, like with women's rights, making these decisions for other people when they don't have a clue what they're talking about, when it's all about control. We don't like it, so we're not going to approve it.
Yeah. Yep. And I thought it was a great example or, you know, analogy when he used, you know, saying, you know, like a kid with cancer, you know, pediatric
right.
cancer. And, you know, she was like, well, no, it's not the same. It is the same. It's the same as far as the, you know, being treated, you know.
Right. Right. And I just read somewhere that I don't know if that article that you said earlier is correct, that a baby knows when it's born that it's transgender. I don't know about that. But I do know that there are children as young as 3 and 4 that know they are.
Huh.
When they, 3 and 4 and 5, you know, little kids. Preschool kids, early grade school kids, they know they're transgender. They know they don't feel right. They don't feel like they belong. You know? Like your brother. You know? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't.
Exactly.
I don't know about. I don't know if a baby knows when they're born. I think when a baby's born, all they want is the bottle, the breast, or their nappy changed and sleep.
That's pretty much what they want. You're right about that. That's what it all boils down to.
I can't
you know.
Like the nappy. I meant diaper. Diaper change. That's what they call it in England, UK, is a nappy. So.
Ew. Yeah. So let's see here. Let's talk about Mr. Herschel Walker and what's going on with this guy.
Oh God. The hypocrisy. The hypocrisy. The man is a psychopath, a pathological liar, a serial adulterer, a woman beater, and now he comes out on video and comes out and says, I'm a born-again Christian, and God has forgiven me. Okay. There's nothing wrong with, you know, God forgiving you for what you've done. But
yeah.
anybody this extreme in his past doesn't belong in government. I mean,
no.
This woman has come out and said, you know, I was with Herschel for I forget how long, and he made me get an abortion. And now it's come out that not only did she have that abortion, but she got pregnant by him again, and he asked her to get another abortion, and she refused. Yes. She refused, and now has a son with him.
Oh,
and he
shit.
Doesn't even know, and he doesn't even know that child.
Oh, geez.
Apparently, he pays child support. He sends in child support, and that's it.
Oh. What the fuck?
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know about all that shit. I knew about the first one, but or the, you know, the abortion one, but I didn't know about the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, she asked that her name not be used. Now, they're trying to get her to come out in public and say who she is. Because if she comes out and says her, because she's trying to protect her son.
Well, yeah.
Because
if she comes out, the media will attack her, you know, the paparazzi.
Right. But you know what it would take is a DNA test.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was getting ready to ask, did they do? They haven't done the DNA test or anything yet.
No.
Okay.
No, because she hasn't come out. Because she hasn't come out in public. There's been no reason to. She knows who the boy belongs to. She was there.
Still. So I'm just wondering. I know that you know, with that whole situation, they have that going on. What's funny is that people are supporting him. Over this shit, like Donald Trump and all of them.
Right. Yeah, and then there's this 23-year-old son, Christian, who's gay, and a Republican, he's a gay conservative. Can you believe that?
Wow.
He's the one who did the video, and his name is Christian Walker. You can look up his videos on Google if you want. You can, or I can find them and send them to you. I'll send them. You don't have to play them tonight. But he went on Twitter and went off on his dad. Apparently, him and his mother had to move 6 times in 6 months because Herschel kept threatening them. It's an abusive woman where a woman has to keep moving to try and hide from the abusive ex.
Uh-huh.
So this boy, this young man, Christian, even though he's a conservative, he said that on the video, he said, "We tried to talk you out of running. Family tried to talk you out of running, and you wouldn't listen." And in the beginning, he actually did, I think, went to one of his little rallies and tried to support him, but he only went once. And because he was trying to be supportive. And then I guess got to thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
And decided that his, you know, basically what triggered it is when the other woman came out and said that she'd had an abortion by Herschel. I don't even know if he knows about his half-brother, the one she had, the second one.
Oh, wow.
He came out and did the video on Twitter right the day after it was announced that this woman had had an abortion. And then he totally freaking lost it, this young man did, Christian. He lost it. And, you know, that he basically said, "My dad does not need to be running for any office. He's a liar, he's a cheater, he's abusive, and he doesn't belong in government."
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah.
Man, that comes from your son.
Yeah, and considering the boy is a conservative and that Herschel is his dad, that's a big deal.
I just can't believe.
He literally said, "My mom and I had to move 6 times in 6 months to get away from your abuse."
Holy crap. That's terrible.
Yeah.
And I bet he uses his power to do shit, too.
Well, I mean, he's a ex-famous football player. So.
Well, yeah.
You know.
But being a famous person, he can still have the power to do what he wants, you know.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Between his football career and running for office, and yet Republicans are defending him. Yet they're against abortion.
Man.
I mean,
talking about ass backwards.
Yeah, well, you know, my little saying about this is, what's good for me isn't good for thee.
Yeah.
Or you could put it the other way around. It's okay for me, but not for thee.
Right. Yep.
No.
Yeah, I always think of the, say, I guess my mom and then used to always say the saying of, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, you know. Now, there's something else that you sent me, Paula, and I just wanted to, I'm going to play a little bit of this audio, and then let's discuss it. This is the one about Trump's people at his rally.
Okay.
At his rally, and they are describing Trump. So, yeah, it's not a cult. So, let's see.
Donald Trump is the president of the 1776 president.
So the 13 colonies? Would that be the 13 colonies?
Yes, that's what it's going back to. Obama is playing Sleepy Joe Biden in a mask. George Woods, the actor, is playing Sleepy Joe, trying to wake people up by pretending to spend all this money in Ukraine. That he signs and he's signing a blank paper.
Tupac is still alive.
Tupac still alive?
Yep.
Where's
Michael
he?
Jackson is still alive.
Where are they?
In there with Trump.
Well, they're in the, and we're out here, damn it. I would have loved to have seen Tupac.
I'll show you a picture.
I don't believe in the climate.
Even after seeing, like, the hurricanes and the floods and the erosion.
Well, have you heard of HARP, where they can control our weather? So
you think our weather's being controlled?
Oh, yeah.
I do. Oh, yeah.
Biden is just a puppet. He's being manipulated from the top.
By whom? He's the top, though, right?
Deep state. He's not the top. He's just a puppet.
Tell me about the deep state a little bit. So who would that be?
An unknown faction of people that are this New World Order. You know, that's what it is. They're trying to get the whole world into a reset to their demands, you know. And
where are these? Are these people in America? Or are they in other countries?
It could be anywhere. They're rich. I mean, I don't mean the rich per se, but the deep state, we don't even know who they are. I mean.
But you're convinced that they exist.
Yes, I am.
Are you a subscriber to QAnon, to their theories about this stuff too? And do you think they're going to be a factor in the 2024 election?
Absolutely.
What makes you say that? Like, what? How do you have that inkling now, two years ahead?
Well, the drops tell us everything, and it's all playing out publicly. Just Donald Trump endorsing it, and it's pretty much out there. So he's trying to wake up the world.
Q is.
Q is.
Yeah. What about JFK Jr.?
Yeah, he's alive.
Is he?
Yeah.
Where is he?
He's around.
Do you know where he is, though?
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. All right. Because.
Yes.
What makes you think that, though? Like, somebody being so famous and so well-known and, you know, with family. What makes you think that he's alive if nobody's seen him?
Demontria?
I got to look that one up.
Yeah.
I play a lot of trivia. That's one I don't know. So I'll look.
Demontria? Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I'll check out Demontria then. All right.
JFK Jr. is the 19th president of the Republic of America.
Rutherford Hayes was the 19th president.
It went back to 1776 when the military took over.
Right, but Rutherford Hayes won in 1876,
no,
100 years later, and he was the president.
That's not the same thing as the common law of 1776.
Joe Biden, as president, is...
Donald Trump is the commander-in-chief right now. Military is in control. What's it called? Common law went back to the military because they stole the election.
Oh, my God. I was laughing the whole... Do these people actually back and listen to themselves? I mean... It is mind-boggling that these people are so fucking stupid.
And these people believe this shit. That's the scary part.
I know. Yeah.
I mean,
JFK is all around. JFK is all around. I mean, my God.
I mean, and then there's, she said that he was like the president after 1776. Now, how does that happen?
Right.
Yeah, I don't
these
think he was born
have
yet.
No, these people have no common sense whatsoever. Combination of brainwashing, cult, followership. It is mind-boggling that people can be this fucking stupid.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yes. I don't understand how, and again, you know, and I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, back a long time ago, I used to follow these conspiracy sites, you know, back when I was a Republican. And, you know, I actually have been there. I've listened to Alex Jones. I didn't do anything with QAnon, but I have been, you know, channel surfing HARP, what that lady was talking about weather control. And, you know, they say they have a HARP system in Alaska that they use to control the weather, and they can make a tsunami happen. They can make a storm happen, blah, blah, blah. But
my God,
I know how deep you can get sucked up into this shit, people, because for the longest time, actually, I was pretty much sucked up into it. And then I realized that this is fake. And so I know people out there probably, you know, have watched the movie Zeitgeist, which there's a movie, it's on YouTube called Zeitgeist. And it's conspiracy shit. It's all about the Federal Reserve banking system, 9/11, all those conspiracies. And now they've bled this into the Donald Trump, who has, you know, has basically set gasoline to the fire of conspiracies. And now it's all throughout Congress. And now that's all this shit's about. Every single day is conspiracy, conspiracy, conspiracy. And it all began a long time ago with these type of sites, and now it's QAnon. It's
okay.
Scary. It really is.
I did not know you did.
Oh yeah, yes I did. That's why if anybody calls in here, when they call in and they start talking about stupid shit, and they start talking about HARP, or they talk about, you know, Jade Helm Project. That's another one. Jade Helm 15 Project. They thought Obama, back when Obama was in office, that he was going to take over the country, martial law, and they were going to use military, and the project was called Jade Helm 15. And this was all promoted by Alex Jones as well. So a lot of this goes back, and it stems to conspiracies. And where do people go for the conspiracies? Usually they listen to Alex Jones' show. Usually that's where they all come from.
Yeah. So was it a gradual thing for you to come to pull away from it, or?
Yeah.
Or
well,
was it instant?
Yeah, because when I got into it, I jumped right into it. Because people are like, oh, my God, did you hear about this? And I started looking it up. And then they're like, have you ever heard of this? The Federal Reserve banking system and how it is, it's corrupt. Now, there are some really stuff that I will say, for example, for the Federal Reserve banking system, what they claim is that, and I don't know if you've ever heard any of these things, Paula, but so they claim that the Federal Reserve Banks was made by bankers, not law people. And so a few bankers or businessmen, which was J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, and I'm trying to think of the other one. But anyway, they met on a J.P. Morgan estate on Jekyll Island in Georgia. Now, what I will say is that actually did truly happen, because Virginia and myself and her mom, we all went down there, or we stopped through there on our way from Florida. And they actually have in the Welcome Center a big plaque that has, the placard says, the home of the creation of the Federal Reserve Banking System. And they do have a plaque on that. And then it says this is where the meeting was held. They show the building where it was held at and blah, blah, blah. So that did happen. But again, it's very easy for somebody to take that kind of stuff and then spiral out of control of conspiracy stuff. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm not saying that it did or didn't happen, but that part I know happened. But I will say that, you know, I started to research myself, and then slowly I started to fall away from it. And, yeah, I got so far depth into it, Paula, that I even did podcasts on this stuff. And
really?
Then I fell out of it. Yeah. Yep.
So. Okay. I'm kind of shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what happens when it's just like a religion. It can actually suck you in, and you can believe whatever they throw out at you. And you start to research it, and then stuff looks pretty like it makes sense. And you're like, shit, that stuff's real. But then you really think about it and look at the other side of the coin, and then you realize that it's all fake. It's not what it is. You know what I mean? A lot of stuff that they've all predicted that this is going to happen, it never happened. They were saying back when Obama was in office, for example, that he was going to start the depopulization process of Americans, and they were going to depopulate by killing Americans off by food shortages and blah, blah, blah. And so none of that shit ever happened. And that's why
right.
I'm trying to say to people, this shit's not real.
Right. So, I have questions.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I can answer them, some of the stuff, I did research a lot of it. So, I mean, I got pretty in depth with it, really, to be honest with you.
Well, apparently, if you did podcasts on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 9/11, they believe a missile was shot off one of those planes, and it was a military plane, and the missile went into the building.
God.
Now,
so that's
for the longest time, I believed it.
That's where Marjorie Taylor Greene gets her shit.
Yep. It's all over the internet, and it's like, it's everywhere over YouTube. You can look that stuff, and you can see it, and you're like, shit, look at this. And then they have, like, people that were working there in the building and survived. They're like, oh, yeah, we heard explosions go off in the building itself. And they're like, bam, 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 all these explosions. And so that's where people get the idea that there was bombs inside those buildings. And so the missile was shot off one of those planes. And then they decided to do a demolition by blowing up the rest of the building. So that way it would cave in and there would be no evidence, basically.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah.
My God. And there was even a Republican president in office at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Bush. Bush Jr.
Yep. And so that's why a lot of people are like, ooh, we like Bush, but then the conspiracy people now see. That's, you got to remember, the conspiracy people, it wasn't as prominent as it is right now. So the conspiracy Republicans were just very minimal. and that's why you didn't hear a lot about it, or we didn't, you know, like, boast about it. There wasn't much social media, so, or social networking and stuff. So, but now, today, after Donald Trump, it is all about the conspiracies have actually amplified.
Okay, so I don't know if, I mean, I'm just your average run-of-the-mill senior citizen, and yet I know that airplane fuel is highly combustible.
Mm-hmm.
So, duh, when an airplane crashes into a building, what do you think is going to happen to the fuel tank?
Oh, yeah. And they were showing pictures of the core columns. And they would put this out on YouTube and everywhere, and they would show the columns of the building, and it looked like they were on a slant. So they said that these things were pre-cut before they bombed it.
Oh, so that way
it would fold in like a pancake.
Are you kidding me?
Uh-uh. And I believed it. I truly believed it, Paula. I really did. I ain't gonna lie to you. I did.
Oh, my God, Jerry.
You know.
I knew you then.
I'm glad
we
got out of it.
I was in Ohio. Yeah. I mean, Jerry, you're a psychic medium. I'm surprised that it didn't come to you immediately.
Yeah, I didn't. Be honest with you, I didn't listen to it. I didn't want to listen to it. I just wanted to see. I was so in depth at what it is. It's almost like, and let me just explain it to you. Once you start looking into it, it's like digging a hole, and you just keep digging further and further. And the more that you keep digging, the more that it pretty much is brainwashing you, and pretty much where you start to become obsessed about it. And then you're obsessed because you want to know more, and you want to do more, and you want to go research more, and you want to dig deeper and deeper. And then you're like, well, shit, now I'm way down in here. How do I get out? And then there's no way out unless you choose to climb back up out of the hole like I did. But that's what happens. You just start becoming brainwashed the further you go. And it's just, there's nothing you can do. Once you're sucked into it, it's got you. So that's why I'm saying I can understand these people are brainwashed. These Trumplicans.
That's understandable. I can see where you were coming from. Do you think there's a lot of people out there that are like you that are in the hole and don't know how to dig out of it?
I would say yeah. I would say there's a lot like that. I think there's a lot of people who are just still, because what it is because of social networking and social media and social Facebook and Twitter and all that, people can, click on that, and then it just keeps feeding them more and more. And then the more that they read about it, the more that they just keep believing, and they don't know what reality is anymore. They've lost all hopes of reality. It's gone. So everything in your world is conspiracy. And that's when you start thinking that Big Brother's coming to get you, you know, that they're coming to knock on your door and take you away. If while I'm talking to you right now about like this stuff like this, that they're going to come to my door and they're going to take me off into, you know, like a black limousine or a black SUV. You know, there's going to be these helicopters and there's going to be this. And I've even was talking to this one guy that used to come onto my show, and we started becoming friends, and then he started talking about, he was very secretive. He even used a fake name and everything else. And then he started talking about, like, how there are these subliminal messages in, like, commercials, like the Domino's, the one that's, I think it's Pizza Hut or whatever, goes 347-1111 or whatever. Like, those numbers, all those numbers, it has part of numerology stuff. There's a subliminal message in there, and they're hypnotizing you on a frequency through your television set.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me tell you a little story. When I lived in California between 1989 and 1993, remember, that was back before cell phones, pagers, Facebook, the internet. I mean, the internet was out there, but it was primitive. It was mostly for businesses. My ex-husband, my son's dad, the Syrian, and I were having marital problems. That's when I found out he was seeing the other woman. So, went to a therapist. He went with me one time. After that, he decided not to go anymore. So that's beside the point. So I went a couple more times by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, and you have to remember, this is between 89 and 93. I can't remember. It had to be 91, 92.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how we got on the subject. I don't remember. But I remember her, we got into a conversation other than my marital problems. It was about politics in Washington. And her deal, she actually admitted to me that she believed in the Illuminati in Washington. Washington, and that there was a group of underground political politicians that had secret organizations that were groups of pedophiles.
Yep. Now, see, I didn't know about the Clinton thing. I didn't really pay attention to that. I didn't read that part. I didn't know nothing like about that, like the pedophile rings and stuff. But I do remember about the Illuminati. And I remember they even go as far as saying that there's a guy by the name of David Icke that talks about that politicians are reptilians, that they're part serpent.
Yeah.
And if you look at their eyes, they'll shift. You know, they shape shift.
The only reptilians I know are people that are possessed, like Trump.
I
can't stand. I don't know how I watched that rally tonight for so long, but I did. Because I want to hear the crap that he's spewing.
Well, that's all it takes with Donald Trump is that he can. To do go to one of those to listen to their rally or tune into one is a way for him. And the thing about Trump, and I'm going to explain the way this is, his voice, the way he speaks, his speech pattern is a certain type of pattern. If you listen to it, that he speaks a certain way because it's a way that you manipulate people by the way you speak and the way your tone frequency is. And it does work. It's a proven theory. They use it for, like, sales tactics and stuff. But anyway, so Donald Trump uses this in his rallies to try to get people to get closer and closer in listening. And so just like anybody that's out here, and that's what happened to most voters, I truly believe that's what happened in 2016, that they listened to him and they listened and they got brainwashed, their frequency, the brain. And then all of a sudden they basically were hypnotized in a sense to where they were listening to the shit he was selling. And then they started got into whatever he did, he was right and everybody else is wrong. And so that's what this type of manipulation. You know who else was good for that? Was Charles Manson. And he was perfect for it.
Right.
Because he knew how to use a certain tactic to manipulate his followers.
Right. Well, he did it tonight. I watched up until the end of the rally. And, I mean, he doesn't use, it's called a monotone. When you speak in the same sort of voice constantly, the election was stolen and we're going to get our country back. It's a monotone voice. It's where you speak evenly. Now, during the early part of the rallies, he doesn't speak like that. He's loud and brash. But at the end of it is where he comes in with this monotone voice. And they did it again tonight. They, again, while he was speaking.
Yeah. And that creepy cult music has a certain tone to it, too, is what helps to hypnotize people, basically.
Right.
You know, if you ever watch religion on TV, if you ever watch one of these big churches where they're preaching, you'll hear them preach and they'll start speaking regularly like this. And then they get really like, and now we're going to get, you know, and they start getting into it, right? And that is what they believe. They'll say, that's the Holy Spirit. But what it is them using that tactic to draw you in and to control you, basically. And so they're getting ready to do, whenever you hear them getting into that where it's getting more exciting and it's getting more, upbeat and everything else, they're about ready to do the next thing. And if you ever look, you'll see what happens. What do? They ask for money. And that's the next part. And then people start giving out their money. They start pledging and giving out money like it's nothing.
Right. Right. Right.
And then when they're done with that, they come back down.
Basically what they're doing is brainwashing people. It's brainwashing.
Yep. Yep. Just like that, the CIA and the KGB uses exactly the same tactics.
Right. So,
which, by the way, we didn't talk about that yet. I wanted to bring that up for a minute. So what exactly, the whole story, what happened? Because I don't know the whole story. You may know, because when I worked so much that I sometimes don't pay attention to this or see it or listen to it. But what happened with what exactly happened with the bridge in Crimea or something, Crimea, whatever?
Okay, I don't know much about it either. You know, Republicans are blaming the Biden administration and Ukraine, and the Democrats are blaming Putin.
Yeah.
I really don't know much about it.
And Donald Trump has came out and talked about this. I was reading some stuff about it, and he spoke about it. He spoke about it in his rally as well. Somewhere in his rally, he's been talking about it, and so he said that this is Armageddon coming, and that this was all due to. This is the bridge blowing up and all that, beginning of World War III. And so he was out speaking and talking to people saying that he is going to be the peacekeeper between Russia and Ukraine. He's going to bring the peace to them, is what he said. And I think it's funny that he said that word peace because, again, it's biblical. And, you know, they call him the Son of Man, the Christ. They call him all these different titles now. And now he's talking about peace between countries and that he's going to be the peace peace giver. That's spooky shit.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking it up now. I am looking at okay. It says Putin is accusing Ukraine of the Crimea bridge blast. Calls it terrorism. So, well, that means, well, I don't know. Okay, well, think about it for a minute. It possibly could be Ukraine. Because if it's a bridge,
I said I wouldn't blame them because look what all Russia's done to them and all the bodies that they found.
I mean, well, think about it. It would prevent another entrance into Ukraine from Russia to be attacked. Think about it.
That's right. Yep. They get rid of the bridge, you know.
Right. 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 So for all you people out there who are condemning the Biden administration for sending money to the Ukraine, how much do you believe in democracy? And then also the other question is, how many of you believe that a dictator that is the enemy of our country, who used to be a KGB agent, believe he's in the right? If you support Putin, you don't support democracy, you don't support a democratic country from having their own government, you believe that it's okay for somebody to invade your country. So I want you think like this. I want you to think like this. What if we were next door to Russia? What if the United States was next door to Russia? And the dictator in the country next door decided he wanted to own us. For no reason than to say, you know, you used to be part of our country and we want you back. So what part, thousands of people have been killed by Russian soldiers. Women have been raped by Russian soldiers. Children have been killed by Russian soldiers. What if that happened if the United States of America was next door to Russia and our enemy, this dictator, Putin, decided to do that to us? Would that be all right with you? With our country being invaded and our citizens killed and raped? Do you approve of American citizens being killed? Because that's what's happening to Ukraine. If you are against our president sending money to a country that's trying to maintain its democracy. Proof of the money that's being sent to Ukraine? You're an enemy of the state. Then you don't approve of any democracy, including the United States of America. Because we are a democracy.
Oh, yeah.
We're not a... We don't have a dictatorship. No matter how much Trump wants it, don't have one.
It's sickening, man. And his people are all about committing this act of... I don't care what anybody says. I call it an act of domestic terrorist attack on our nation. And that's what happened. And his people did that. And, you know, it's sickening to me because these people are going to do shit like this again when it comes to the next coming up elections. I feel like they're going to get crazy again because they're going to get pissed that Donald Trump's in trouble, you know, that he's not, you know, because he's going to, I guarantee you, before the end of December, by December, he's going to be, Trump will be locked up. He'll be in prison. It's going to happen. I do foresee that happening. And I do foresee his people getting fucking crazy. And it's going to be a bad situation because they thought they could get away with it with the Capitol, you know, the Capitol and shit. But I will tell you this, it's going to be different than what they think because they are way more ready than they were before because that before their hands were tied because, you know, they were being attacked by their own fucking government, Donald Trump, who did not let them know what to do or what to go on. So it's kind of like sending them in, sending his people in to do this shit and, you know, taking them out without telling them what's going on or trying to give them any kind of help because he knew what was going to happen. That's what he wanted to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's already been, there's some, there's been more information come out about all this that he did know. He did know. He was involved. And in fact, it's been two or three podcasts ago that I actually said something about this. But apparently, one of the people that was attacking attacking the Capitol building on January 6th got a phone call from the White House. Now, they know who the person was who got the phone call. They don't know who made the phone call because there are multiple people in the White House, that were working for Trump. It could have been Trump himself. It could have been Mark Meadows. It could have been, there was a bunch of people. Cash Patel. It could have been, there's all kinds of people.
Okay.
It could have been. It could have even been, what's his name? That guy. Not Barr. Barr is now speaking out against Trump. God, I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name either. It's
but somebody in the White House, you know, they've gone through all the phone records of all these people. They've, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but they have arrested over 800 people for the attack on the Capitol.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Yeah. They have gone through their phone records. They have gone through their social media. They have gone through their private chats. They have interviewed them. But not all of them, but a bunch of them.
That's awesome.
So they know what's going on. And they know that somebody within the White House made a phone call to one of the people that was attacking the Capitol building. They just don't know who yet.
Yep.
I mean, imagine if it was Trump.
They will.
On top of that, there is a photo of Jim Jordan, one of your congresspeople there in Ohio, on his phone while the Capitol was being attacked. Somebody got a photo of him on his phone. So it is speculated that he was speaking to somebody in the White House.
Yes, I bet he was. I wouldn't put it past it. I mean, that's what these people were doing. And they also were mentioning that 1776 shit, too. All of them were. And
yeah.
The Republican Party.
Well, all you have to do is go to MTG's. She's got a pinned post on her profile on Twitter. Let me read it to you. In 1776. Her pinned post on her... This is her professional Twitter account. Today and every day is 1776. Never give up our freedoms. Never let the left steal them away. Be a watchman on the wall and stay on guard every single second of every single day, because the left will stop at nothing until they destroy our faith, our families, and our freedom. So right there, her pinned post actually says, today and every day is 1776. Warren Bobert.
Yeah.
January 6th, early in the morning, she tweeted out, just 1776. That's all she said on a post. 1776. So it's code for let's have a revolution.
Yep. They were all part of it.
Right.
And I think that even a couple of them had them in the building like a couple days beforehand.
Well, right. The night before the insurrection, Lauren Boebert, her mother, and a couple of her sons, I think he's been fired, but there was a Capitol Police who actually allowed them in the building to have a tour. When nobody, and there's a picture, they actually took selfies of them at the Capitol, like standing on outside on, like, I don't know where, the steps. Took selfies of them outside the building, and this Capitol Police let them in, and this was before she was sworn in. No one was, but because of COVID regulations, no one was supposed to be in that building besides the people who actually worked there and the Capitol Police. And yet Lauren Boebert was allowed in.
Wow. See?
Yeah, I think that officer's been fired. I'm not sure. Not sure about that.
I kind of hope he was, because that's dereliction of duty, man, all the way. It's funny. We're actually at the end of the show. I figured we can end the show up, and I'll let you end it up, and we'll finish it up. Miss Paula Alexander.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for allowing us to talk to you and spread the truth and maybe I hope Jerry gave you hope that if you're in the rut of the cult, the Trump cult, that you are able to drag yourself out like he did. and like he, conspiracy theories are lies. Have some common sense, people. Thank you for listening. Thank you for writing us. We appreciate each and every one of you. And assalamu alaikum. May peace be with you. Have a great week, everybody. Good night.
Absolutely, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Like Paula said, till then, come join us again right here on Real Politics as we talk about the truth against the Republican Party. And the midterms are coming up. November is almost here, folks. Get out there. Rock that vote. Get out there and vote blue. Make sure that you get out there and get these Republicans out of office. If you want a better America where they actually allow veterans to have better benefits and insulin that is $35 for diabetics and just a better economy altogether, stop the Republicans now because they don't care about you or your family. We've seen what they do. They're all about conspiracies. And that's all they care about. How can you trust a man who is the leader of their party who goes out and tells them to attack our Capitol building? How can you trust a man that calls him Jesus, basically, the Son of Christ, the Son of Man, the Christ? Who can believe this shit? Stop it now. Let's put it at the end, and let's look at even women's reproductive rights, right? They should have the right to do with their bodies what they feel is necessary. That should be between them, the doctor, and God. Not a politician, not a man, not a Republican. It needs to stop. Because if you don't stop, then they're going to go after LGBTQ community. They're going to go after same-sex marriages. They're going to go after the transgender. It's going to happen. That's where they're headed. They're going to cut Social Security. It's coming. And if you want your Social Security money, then you better wake the fuck up and you better vote against these Republicans. Because it is coming, folks. It is coming. The day is coming around the corner when we can say goodbye to the Republican Party in Donald Trump. Now, how's that going to happen? When you vote out the Republicans out of Congress, then it will only start to begin the cease of Donald Trump and the conspiracies. That's what you got to do. Research this stuff. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to Paula. Research it yourself, not the QAnon shit, not Facebook. Research it and learn the truth for yourself, not what somebody tells you out of their mouth. Turn off Donald Trump speaking and go and research. I was a conspiracist years ago. I was in that rabbit hole. I know what you're going through. And I'm telling you, get out of that situation because it's all fraudulent, fake shit that will drive you into an insane asylum to where you start to become so crazy that you believe it and start to have fear factors, and then the fear factors lead you to something else really bad. So get out of it. That's all I can say about this. And I hope I can bring some information or light to you with my past dealing with conspiracies. All right, everybody, I want you to have a great week. Take care. We love you. God bless America, our troops, and especially each and every one of you. Have a good night, everybody.
Looking out a dirty old window, down below the cars in this city go rushing by. I sit here alone and
shit. Fucking. Running fast along the sand, a spirit born of earth and love.
Count the hands like thunder.
right, everybody. Have a good night. Thank you once again for tuning in and joining us right here on Real Politics with Politic. Have a good night.
My grandpa fought in World War II. He was such a noble dude. I can't even finish school. Missed my mom and left too soon. His dad was a fireman who fought fire so violent. I think I bored my therapist while playing him my violin.
Oh my God,
that's so insane.
Oh my God,
that's such a shame. Next to them my shit don't feel so great. But I can't help myself from feeling bad. I kind of feel like two things can be said. The world's smallest violin really needs an audience. So if I do not find somebody soon, I blow up into smithereens. This real life that is smithereens. Just let me play my violin for you, 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 you.
Better me now coming with the day.